To God, to say yes to his way, yes to his will, yes to trust in him. Oh, we're back again. You're tuned in to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, all the way from Memphis, Tennessee. This is a true word of faith, worship time, and steady time. To dive into the teachings of the Bible to get clarity and understanding. One of the things I was discussing with another pastor friend and brethren about the misunderstanding of today. So many people are having serious misunderstanding about the Word of God. Some think it's not necessarily to do all of this or all of that. And I'm saying to you, not only is it necessary, but there is still more to do. It's amazing that Jesus told us to pray unto the Lord of the harvest, for the harvest was plentiful, but the laborers are few. We just passed Pentecost this past Sunday. It's amazing to me that Blog Talk took the time to want to do a maintenance service on their network. And so we miss you all on yesterday, but I pray that you were able to go somewhere for impersonal worship. That's right. In personal worship. One of the things that I will continue to be an advocate of, and that is the fellowship of the brothers and sisters of faith coming together in physical form. Thank God for Zoom. Thank God for Facebook and other media platforms that we're able to use to talk to communicate with, but there will never be anything that can substitute the physical touch. Amen, somebody. That physical touch is so important. People hunger for it. People crave for it. It's amazing that you can have two healthy babies that are born, and you could take one baby and for 6 months, to a year, you can feed that baby, give it the nursing that it needs, change the diaper on it, but do not pick that baby up. Do not rock that baby. Do not cuddle that baby. Do not talk to that baby. Thing that will cause that baby not to grow as the other child in the same experiment that you was feed also, change also, but this baby you will talk to and speak to and laugh with, and you will hold them and talk with them on a regular basis. That child will grow and develop very well. That study, when that child don't grow, is called defibrated dwarfism. It is a condition that will cause the body not to grow. I want to suggest to you that when you don't have the right physical contact, there's certain things that should grow in you, certain development that should take place in you that won't take place in you for the lack of that contact. It's amazing that even in the plant world, you have Miracle-Grow advertising the difference from applying their product to not applying product. And they will show you two plants, two tomato plants or two flowers that want in the same type soil, but one will have the Miracle-Grow on it and one won't. Both will receive watering and sunlight. But it's something about that extra touch of the Miracle-Grow that caused the plant or the vegetable, the flowers to grow a little bit better than the other. That lets us know there's something in a touch. There's something in that personal contact. So if it works that way for plants, certainly it works that way and better for you and I today. And so I'm encouraged this evening to just talk to you about Pentecost. Many people don't understand Pentecost, what it is and what it's for. Well, the word Pentecost simply means 50th. That's right, 50th. Pentecost, in the biblical aspect, took place 50 days after the ascension, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Excuse me. It was 50 days after his resurrection that the Holy Spirit showed up on the scene. Now, yesterday I had a particular outline message I wanted to share, to preach and to minister with. But I think today I'm still able to share and minister the same thing. But I want to take a different approach. If I can, if I may, I would like to take a different approach in talking with you on this evening. Once again, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit showed up on Pentecost 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For 40 days, Jesus walked in their midst, verifying for them that he was alive. That's right, 40 days, Jesus walked in their midst after his resurrection, showing them proof, undeniable proof that it was him who rose in the flesh, not in just a spirit. You got a lot of religion says that the spirit of Christ rose. No. The physical being of Christ also rose. Amen. Christ rose in physical body, who we like to call Doubting Thomas, who stated, I'm not going to believe until I'm able to put my hand in his side and feel the wounds. And so Jesus told him when he saw him, he said, Thomas, take my hand. And he allowed Thomas to feel the nail scars that have healed, but still was there in his hand. He allowed Thomas, he said, take your hand and put it here in my side. And Thomas was able to feel the wound. So he was able to give a testimony of indisputable proof that Jesus Christ had rose from the dead. And others, he sat down and ate with them because spirits cannot eat physical food. And so he ate with them. He broke bread with them. And so that they were able to accept the fact that he did what he said he was going to do. Now, I know it's a challenge for many to believe some things, but it's true. Not only did Jesus die for our sin, but he got up with all power of life and death. What is the purpose to put emphasis on the resurrection? Many think, when you're dead, that's it. There's no more. There's no judgment or anything. Then some believe in heaven and some believe in hell. But because of all the misteaching, misunderstanding, Jesus did as he stated, that he will be the first of the resurrected of the dead, simply meaning the first to get up and not die again. We know Lazarus woke up again because Jesus went and rose him from the dead after 4 days being dead. But Lazarus died again. Many other believers that had died during Christ's time as he descended to the lower part of the earth, he set captivity free. And many was walking in the streets of Jerusalem that was once dead, but they are now they were then alive. But after that, they died again. And so it's very important for us to understand that Jesus told the disciples, he said, I need you to tarry here in Jerusalem until the Comforter comes. He said, if I go, I shall send him to you. So we know that the Holy Spirit is a personage, not an impersonal force, personage, because he said, I will send him. And so Christ sent the Holy Spirit back to his disciples and those that were following, and he made available the Holy Spirit to be given to mankind. Now we receive the Holy Spirit in measure, but Christ received him without measure. That means he was able to do anything and all things. And we are only able to do those things which we have developed our faith to, and God has allowed us to experience those miraculous things. So moving right forward here. So the disciples, 120 of men and women, was together in what was called the upper room. They had gathered and they had been praying about this faith movement they were now a part of. Had told them, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things what I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. And so they were waiting on the Holy Spirit to show up in their lives as they was instructed. And the Bible says in Acts 2 that they were in one accord. So the Holy Spirit could have came to them the day after Christ left, but perhaps maybe some of them was in some disagreement. And maybe some of them had some misnomers. And maybe some of them wasn't ready to believe or receive. But after being there day in and day out, I can see their faith lining up one with another. You know, if you're there in a meeting and it seems like you all are waiting, sooner or later, you're all going to come to some type of agreement. Whether that agreement is, hey, I'm hungry, are you hungry? there's going to be a level of agreement. And the Bible says that they were in one place in one accord. And so when the spirit of unity truly rests upon them and they were there seeking the face of God for the promise that was promised to them on earth, and that is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit came into that upper room as a sound of a mighty rushing wind. Now, whether or not the Holy Spirit touched them in such a way that all of them began to moan and wail, and their wailing was the sound that they heard, nevertheless, as the Holy Spirit came in, there was a sound. And that sound shook that place, and that sound did something. The Holy Spirit came in and did something in each of them. And when they were done, they were able to leave that place and go to all parts of the world and preach the gospel, being persecuted and ridiculed. They were empowered to preach in the name of Yeshua, a.k.a. Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. And so they went and began to minister the good news concerning the birth, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because the children of Israel had already been waiting on the promise that Moses had stated. They were already waiting on the prophecies that those like Daniel and Isaiah had prophesied concerning he who was coming in the fullness of God. And so they had an anticipation, many of them. But because of leadership in their day, their expectation was diminished because of erroneous teaching. I like to say today we have some out there that are teaching erroneously. Mm-hmm. They're teaching popular themes and feel-good message, and there ain't nothing wrong with your teaching, preaching somebody to be healthy and to be enjoy life and all of that. But the Bible says they that live godly shall suffer persecution. That means we're going to go through some things from time to time as born-again believers of Christ. We're going to go through some things. We're going to experience some things because we have chose to set ourselves apart from the norm. The world now, through this pandemic of the coronavirus, are seeking for a new norm. Like, we as believers, we should take advantage in setting the precedent for the new norm, and that is one of prayer and one of faith. Like never before, we need to be in the front, speaking faith in God, because God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. You can get the coronavirus, but that don't mean the coronavirus has to get you. And that don't mean you have to die from it or go through serious illness. And you may go through something, but the Bible that I read says, he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes I am healed. Now, I know you're saying, don't it say incorporated, talking about all of us? Yes, it does. It speaks to the entire body of Christ, but you got to make it personal. So I can testify for myself. I can claim it for myself, but you, brothers and sisters, must classify it for yourself. You must claim it for yourself. I can't claim your healing and deliverance for you. You got to do that for your one self. I can pray with you. I can pray for you. I can anoint you with oil. I can go fasting for many days, weeks. But if you don't have faith that God would do it, then it won't happen for you. Your faith is what moves mountains. Your faith is what's going to get you into heaven. Your faith in the promise that Christ had made us all from the beginning. So it's very important that we take it step by step. Amen, somebody. Now, let me put my little helpers on called readers and open up my Bible here. Amen. Amen. And I forgot I had changed my lesson. I was talking to someone about those of us that teach that we are to be careful in how we teach the Word of God, how we preach and how we help others. We're to do them in a way. James chapter 3, verse 1 said, "Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church." He said, not many of us, because some of us, we take one concept and one precept, make a concept, and we still miss the mark because our information contradict our revelation contradict the information that's already given in Scripture. And so when the information or your revelation contradict the information, you must throw the revelation away. But many don't want to do that. They think they got something new. I don't understand it. If God was against homosexuality and all of its practices surrounding it, he was against it then, what make anyone think that he has tolerated it now? So he has not. He does not make an open door for that. There's not one scripture text that gives support to it. And so at the end of the day, everyone must choose their own path. Because when they stand before the righteous judge, they stand before him alone. They're not going to be able to stand with grandmama prayers and grandmama blessings. No, grandmama prayers and blessings are working in their lives right now. But they're going to have to stand and give an account for the life that they live and the information that they had understanding of. The truth of the matter is you can lie to me and say, well, I believe this or I believe that. But God knows what you believe and he knows what you have received. He knows the content of your heart inward and outward. And so no matter what you do or say, God judges the heart. Because your mouth may say one thing, but your heart is saying something totally different. So we have to be careful, brothers and sisters. We have to be careful that we don't allow ourselves to be caught up in those hang-ups. Amen, somebody. And so, as we move forward, so again, that was James that I read earlier. For those of you that were curious of where I was coming from, the book of James, James chapter 3, I was reading the New Living. It says, dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church. For we who teach will be judged more strictly. That means we're going to be judged harder because we know. So all of those of you that want to be teachers of others concerning the word of God, understand that God's going to judge us more strictly. Amen. Now, the King James in that same text reads, my brother, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive a greater condemnation. Amen. So it's telling us that we're going to be judged harder. Amen. And so we got to be mindful of all that's going on. Amen. Let's take a break here. We'll be right
Hello,
back.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
Hi, I'm a Christian.
And I'm a Christian too.
You know, in order to influence the world, we have to learn how to connect with them.
Oh, that's great. You know, I can connect. I'm bilingual.
Wow, you speak two languages.
Yeah, I speak English and Christianese.
Chinese, that's cool.
No, not Chinese, Christianese.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard of that.
That's because they don't teach it in school.
Huh. Yeah, it doesn't ring a bell. Can you give me an example?
Well, I'd love to, but in order to show you how, I'd have to have someone here.
Well, that's great. Meet my friend Lauren.
Oh, you brought a friend.
Yeah.
That's great. Hi, Lauren.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
You too.
You need to get saved.
Saved from what?
What I'm trying to say is you need to be born again.
So are you talking about, like, reincarnation or...
Look, if you don't get set, or if you're not born again, look, you basically, you just have to turn or burn, okay? Turn or burn.
Look, what my friend's trying to say is, Jesus wants to have a real relationship with you and be a part of your life.
Oh, I get it.
See? I told you everyone understood Christianese.
What is the church? Is the church a building?
I apologize, I've been talking that
Is
whole
the church
time.
A pastor?
And
or
my
the staff?
Mic is on mute.
Is the church the music? The tradition? Or the ministries? These are all good things, but they are not the church. Take them away, and the church is still here. Why? Because you are still here. The church is you. The church is you with a purpose. The church is you on a mission. The church is you with a plan. A simple plan to plug into God at a weekend service, to charge up in a small group community, to live out using your gifts and passions, and to pass on your faith to those who do not know Christ. When you and I live like this, all the things we used to do in church become things we do as the church. God desires it. The world needs it. And we are called to be it. What is the church? The church is you.
How do people try to escape depression? Self-preservation is the first law of life. If you break your arm, your first instinct is to shield it, to keep it from being injured or hit by anyone else. When you are emotionally wounded, truly wounded, you may do several things trying to protect yourself. Some people turn to alcoholism. Alcoholics always have a reason for drinking. It's their wife's fault, it's the husband's fault, it's the boss's fault. The birds are flying the wrong way. The dog barked at me when I came home. It's somebody else's fault. No, it's not. You took the drink, and the drink took you. You're hiding in a bottle because you're afraid to face reality. Alcoholism is not the answer. I'm not against drinking. I drink every day from this fountain of living water. It satisfies. It's greater than anything you'll ever drink. It's better than anything you'll ever taste. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. There's power in this book. There's an answer in this book. There's a God in this book who is the deliverer and who is the answer. Christ is your answer. Find him here.
Fitness is a big part of my life, and I've learned that it needs to be regular, a discipline we need to do especially on the days when we're not in the mood and don't have a lot of energy. And like physical fitness, our spiritual fitness is something we tend to put off. But regular time alone with God is essential in getting to know Him. I wrote my new book of 365 devotions right from the heart to serve as a spiritual warm-up. It's not a substitute for talking with God through prayer and listening to God through the study of His Word. It's a supplement to get the spiritual juices flowing. I pray that the Lord will bless you through each day's message. May these thoughts give you a hunger to know Him. And most of all, I hope they'll connect you with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Meeting with God is a way to have a meaningful and abundant eternal life. Some common questions people ask about quiet time. Number one. With all the stresses of life, how do I make time daily for a quiet time? Well, there's never time for a daily quiet time. As a pastor, I sure don't have enough time for a quiet time. But I have to ask God for a hunger to know Him and a hunger to spend time with Him. Then it becomes the most important appointment of my day. I keep daily lists, and number one on my daily appointment list is time alone with God. I encourage you to do the same. Number two, by using Right from the Heart, What would a daily quiet time look like? I decided to write these devotions short and easy to understand because people really are pressed for time. So first, ask God to open your mind and heart. Read the scripture reference, maybe reread it again. Then read the devotion for the day and let it sink in. Don't be tempted to read ahead. Just one a day will give you a fresh food for thought and get your spiritual juices flowing. And then ask God for a special time with Him through prayer and Bible study. I hope in the process that you get to hear from God.
Amen, amen, amen. That private devotion time that we all need, that's the thing that's going to help us grow and develop our relationship in God. I've stated in the past that I am an ordained elder in the Church of God in Christ, licensed through the Church of God in Christ. I've been ministering the gospel 27 years now. And so, not a novice, but I'm not oblivious to the things that are going on in our world today. I want to encourage you as we move forward. Some people don't know what we stand for as a church, but I like to share with you what do I stand for as the church. This is called our affirmation of faith. It is a base understanding of what we believe. So, our affirmation of faith here in the Church of God in Christ is we believe the Bible to be the inspired and only infallible written Word of God. Now, when we say that statement, we're not talking about translations. So when we say the Bible, we're talking about the original manuscript in their original language and writing. We believe them to be infallible. Okay. We realize translations are just that, and they can be interpreted differently based on whom or the group of who may be interpreting it. So we want to encourage you as you read the Bible that you take time to study the history of the Bible as you move forward so that you have better understanding. So once again, we believe the Bible to be the inspired and only infallible written Word of God. Hope I'm coming through loud and clear today. I didn't have my mic check earlier. Hopefully you are able. Excuse me for the time before what is the church. I was talking, but I had muted my mic because I had some other things going on in my background. And I muted my mic and forgot to unmute it. So please forgive me for that space of time that had nothing coming across to you. Although I was still speaking, you missed out on all that I was saying because I had muted my personal line from the line and not from the board. So please forgive me for that. All right, moving on. Affirmation of faith, we believe the Bible to be the inspired and only infallible written Word of God. We believe there's only one God, eternally existent in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We believe in the blessed hope, which is the rapture of the church of God, which is in Christ at his return. We believe that the only means of being cleansed from sin is through repentance and faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We believe that the regeneration by the Holy Ghost is absolutely essential for personal salvation. Key word now. We believe that the redemption work of Christ on the cross provides healing for the human body and an answer to believing in prayer. We believe that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is absolutely essential, according to Acts 2 and 4, is given to believers who ask for it, or ask for him, the Holy Spirit. We believe that the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit, by whose indwelling the Christian is enabled to live a holy and separate life in this present world. Amen. Now that is our affirmation of faith. And I read a text. It says, according to Acts 2 and 4. So let's go to Acts 2 and 4 and see what Acts 2 and 4 actually says concerning. Now, earlier I was speaking, and I believe this was the portion where I had muted myself, and you may have missed, but I was speaking on this. And so, matter of fact, I just started at verse 1, reading from the King James Version. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that's 50th, they were all with one accord in one place. That means they all had stood in agreement, and they was in the same area for the same reason and same purpose. Just because you're together in one place don't mean you're actually together. There's many people who come together in one place, but they're not together. We all go to the movie theater there to watch a movie, but it don't mean we're all there watching it for the same reason or purpose. So when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. And so that goes back to saying the sound originated from heaven. So that wasn't just them and their moaning or their groaning. That wasn't them and their sound of responsive sound to the Spirit of the Lord touching their bodies for the first time. But the sound originated in the heavens. And as of a rushing mighty wind. In other words, maybe, just maybe, the Holy Spirit was waiting on their unity. And as fast as the Holy Spirit can move through the heavens and dropping down into the atmosphere of where there was, that was that sonic boom. That was that sound that they heard as the mighty rushing wind. They heard the Spirit of the Lord just descend upon them mightily, swiftly. And it says, and it filled, it being the sound or the Holy Spirit, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them clothed tongues lacketh of fire. In other words, they begin to speak out, being able to control what they were saying and what they were speaking. And it set upon each of them, that means there was no respected person. All of them received this revelation. All of them received this knowledge. All of them received this gifting. And it happened once they had got in a true agreement one with another. And they filled with the Holy Spirit. Or the Holy Ghost. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's what we read. We were filled with the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost can come when we're in worship. Maybe you're a new convert. Maybe you're someone that's been saved, but you never had experienced the Holy Spirit. And so being together with others of the same faith, believing God with you, you too can be touched by the physical manifestation of the Holy Spirit, touching your body, touching your mind, touching your spirit when you ask for it. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, he gave them utterance to speak a heavenly language, but he gave them utterance to speak a language of those that were nearby so that they that were nearby would hear the good news of the gospel and receive that revelation of knowledge. So they got it. They received it, and they went out and utilized the Holy Spirit so that God's will be done. Amen. So, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem devout men out of every nation under the heaven. Now when this was noise around, the multitude came together and amen. So verse 6 says, now when this was noise abroad, the multitude came together, and they were confounded, because that every man heard them speaking in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not these which speak Galilean? And how hear we, every man in our own tongue, wherein we were planted? And so the moving of the Holy Spirit shifted some things, and that shift made it possible, amen, for others to receive the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. Once again, I want to greet my listeners today. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening with us. As always, we trust that something that has been said already has encouraged you. Something that was said already has empowered you. And we want you to stay encouraged. if you feel that you don't have the gift of the Holy Spirit, I want you to understand that it's in your asking. Not your begging, but in your asking. And if you could ever get it in your heart just to ask God sincerely to give you what you need, then and only then will you begin to see the marvelous works of God operating in and through your life. Amen.
What's up, family? What's good?
Hey.
Well, y'all looking all sad. Mary, Mary here, Ruben, everybody in the cup. We ready to do this?
Nah, man. Everybody's running late.
Are you serious?
Yes.
And I hope they make it.
Oh, they'll make it. They may be late, but they'll make it.
They better make it, because we've got a lot to do.
My folks and friends, listen to these words. See God save me from myself when no one else was around. And it was only by His grace, His mercy, His favor. Cause I know I don't deserve all the love He showed me, how He let me know He never gonna leave my side. Just a sinner left in the cold. Give me a second chance. Save me from myself. Came to my rescue when I needed help. You wanna know why I love Him like I do? That's when my enemy said I was through. He took me from the bottom and put me on the top. He laid His hands on me and now I can't be stopped.
I love him like I do. Once again, you're tuned in to the 6 Hours Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Bunny. Hey, I pray that you had a wonderful Pentecost time and serving the Lord, fellowshipping one with another. Hey, we have Juneteenth coming up. Be listening out. We're going to be celebrating Juneteenth. That's June 19th. We're going to have a lot of celebration things going on. It's also Father's Day, and so you're going to hear some other things going on. And so I look forward to speaking with you all then. Amen. I know that you're going to want to enjoy your father. And to those of you that don't know who your father is, don't know where he is, understand that God is a good father and he won't abandon you, but he'll help you clean your house. Amen. Ida Carrie said, clean this house.
Lord, I thank you for forgiving me over and over again. Yeah, I'm calling on you, Heavenly Father. I'm down on my knees. Say, call on you no matter the hour. Lord, I'm in need. I've been messing up, done lost my house, done lost my job. Why walking out? These church folks say they my friends, but I'm all they talk about. I've been doing wrong, I'm so sorry. Confess to him, he'll remove all wickedness. The blood from your son will wash me from my sins. Clean this house from the inside out. Restore me. Take away my business doing it, no church or no Bible study, ain't been in my word. Now I know better than this, can't live my life in sin. We confess to him, he'll remove all wickedness. The blood from your son will wash me from my sins. Clean this house.
Yeah, I can introduce you to the best cleaner alive. Every now and then we all go through a little strife. But if you let him, he will change your life. Now I can hear you saying that life's been rough. Oh yeah, you've been going through a whole lot of stuff. God specializes in the impossible. Just trust and believe. His grace is more than enough.
I lay me down tonight.
Love that. Love that. Amen. Open your Bibles with me tonight. Let's journey in the Word of God together. I'd like for you to open to 2 Corinthians. That's right. 2 Corinthians. New Testament. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll give you a moment to find it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Something very important for us. Because Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And oftentimes, while we're trying to walk in this Christian walk, we have so many people coming, remembering who we used to be, remembering what we used to do. And so this is for you, our monthly emphasis deals with redemption, the gift called redemption. It deals with the fact that God redeemed us and it was his gift to us. In John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So God gave us a gift. And that gift is one of redemption, because we are redeemed, we're repurposed, we're renewed. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the apostle is writing to the church in Corinth, and he's saying to them, therefore, so there's a therefore, he's concluded something. And so if you go back at your leisure and read the conclusion. The conclusion was, wherefore, for know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. And you have to go back because it says, wherefore. And again, to read all of that and see why that conclusion was made. And so our conclusion today is verse 17, once again, chapter 5, 2 Corinthians, says, therefore, if, conditional, that is a conditional word, it is predicated on the individual, not the group. Thank God for groups, but this is personal. So he says, therefore, if any man, that's mankind, so it's not just a gender, that's mankind as a whole. Therefore, if any man, any person, amen, be in Christ. And there's a concept here that is very vivid in this understanding. It said be in Christ. That don't mean be around Christ, be talking Christ, but it means be in Christ. And I must give you an example here, and it's simply one of a pool. You're on vacation, and you go around the pool, and you say, honey, I'm going down to the pool. And you go, and you sit around the pool, but you don't get in the pool. Therefore, the benefit of being wet, you won't have. You may get some sprinklers on you from others splashing water, but you won't be wet until you get in. And once you get in, you're wet. You're not partially wet. You're not almost wet. being in the pool means that you're wet from the pool. So you're all in or all out. And walking this Christian journey is learning how to be all in and not be put out. Amen. And so the scripture goes on to read. It says, again, verse 17, chapter 5, 2 Corinthians, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So your newness truly comes from being in Christ, not around him, not dodging him, not being somewhat like him, but being in him. So that newness comes from being in. He is a new creature. And that means whatever he was yesterday, 5 minutes ago, whatever you were, the moment you get in Christ, you're transformed. You're changed. In that moment, you still may have the same clothes, the same outward smell or body odor. If you have one, you may have the same look. But the very moment you got in Christ, you no longer look the same to Christ. And so, since that's not the one you can see, then it is one that has to be dealt with on that individual level. Amen, somebody. So, now, once again, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. The mystery here is understanding that you may look the same. You may even smell the same. But the very moment you got in Christ, you're no longer the same. And there's a change that has happened to you. There's a difference now in you that wasn't there before. And so when you understand that, when you fully understand, I'm in Christ, so I'm no longer a liar. I'm no longer a fornicator. I'm no longer a deviant. I'm no longer a rejecter of the true word. I'm no longer an atheist, a Gnostic. I'm no longer the things that you used to know me for. I am known now. I'm known now by the newness of life that I live. And that's how God places judgment. Verse 18 says, and all things are of God. How many things of God? All things. So since all things are of God now, because I'm in that newness, it simply means to me that my whole world has transitioned. Being at the beach, I grew up in Florida, and we go down to the beach, and it's amazing how you can go in the beach point and you'll swim, but the current will move you because you're part of the system of the current, and no matter how much you swim this way or that way, that current has a way of either pulling you or pushing you without you even realizing that you have been pushed or pulled. And so the world will try to do that in us. It will try to push and pull several loads in us. And so when you realize God is utilizing what he's already placed in you, because you didn't know it, but he knew it. He was just waiting for you to access the key that gives you a greater access to the things that you are accessing now. Amen. And so, verse 18 again, and all things are of God who has reconciled us. He has redeemed us. Remember, redemption is the gift. It's God's free gift. So he has reconciled us to himself. He has regained us. He has restored us. He has allowed us to be free whom once was bound. God did that for us. And so because he did that for us, we ought to do some things for him in return. But he says, who has reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus. So God the Father won a relationship with us, so he sent his Son as a seed to sow seed to bear fruit so that we may partake and germinate or reproduce the very thing that we saw. Amen, somebody. And so, and all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And the word ministry means finding a need and meeting it. But he goes on one step further. He gave us, from this text here, I'm not just to go out and to witness. I am to go out to be the witness and to help convert souls. And once we get that fully understand, amen. Glory to God. So once again, verse 18 says, and all things are of God who has reconciled himself by Jesus. Have reconciled us, to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. So our ministry as born-again believers is to reconnect people back to God. Amen, somebody. It's very important for us to be that connector back to God. Amen. We are to reconcile people back to God. That reconcile there is to exchange. Amen. That means we are to pull people out of the grips of Satan and to put them in the hands of God. We're to exchange their meaningless life for a life that's meaningful through God and his kingdom. We're to teach them the difference between right and wrong and the why is what it is. Amen. So, once again, that reconcile is to exchange. And so So that adjustment of a different, okay? So we are to exchange sinners for saints, to in order to transform them. We are in that ministry, amen, of reconciliation, amen, exchanging lives. I said before, we're thermostat, not thermometers. We're not just to tell the temperature, but we are to change the temperature. And we are to change it the way that God will have us to exchange it. Amen and amen. Well, we're getting to the end of the program. Amen. And so we want, amen, waiting on the screen here, we want to say once again thank you for joining us today. We're not quite done just yet, but we want to say thank you. And my screen is frozen. Amen. Having a few technical difficulties, I do apologize, seeing as if my screen is freezing and changing, so not able to open the mics to give you opportunity to say hello and give some feedback or even ask a question. Amen. I'm still waiting on my screen. So, while my screen takes this sweet time, amen, amen. Once again, this month of June, we will be celebrating Juneteenth, and we'll be celebrating Father's Day. Now, two of my kids are born in this month. And so I will be celebrating their birthday, my youngest son and my oldest daughter. They'll be celebrating their day of birth this month. But I want to remind you, though, that I'm celebrating Juneteenth. Amen, that you do it wholesome and enjoy. And be back with us again on the next program. Amen. All right. We're going to try this again. And amen. Amen. And once again, I do apologize for this unusual delay. My screen has been freezing tonight. Amen. But that's all right. We were able to read our textual context and to put us in remembrance that redemption is the gift that God gave us. He wants us to be redeemed. Amen. And so, amen. Well, don't look like my screen want to come all the way back up for us this evening. And so we're not going to press it. I'm going to thank you. Amen. Amen and amen. I'm still trying to get this keyboard to load up so I can play two more songs for you this evening, and not let me do it. So, anyway, once again, God bless you. Thank you for joining us today. We've just celebrated Pentecost. Amen. Which means 50th. The Bible says when it fully had came, They was in one place on one accord. Amen. And then in that one place and under that one accord, that's a unity that we can't even put words to how God would just unite us and bring the things that we're doing to peaceful resolution. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father God. I'm going to take this moment to pray. Our nation definitely has seen this share of tragedies every week that we have turned on the television. There have been shootings and death of young people. And this lets me know that the enemy, he sees our potential. He sees who you're to be, what you're going to be. And he wants to get in there, and he wants to do his thing. But I know that God wants us to be not the mouthpiece for the devil. Amen. Do have the line open now. I'm going to take a moment before my next strike to say welcome, everyone. We are at the end. Hopefully you have enjoyed the teaching on tonight. Is there any question about something that I taught? And no one, going once, going twice. Amen. Well, once again, we're not trying to put nobody on the spot. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Worship you alone, blessed Savior, my God, from the depths of my heart, I'll give all praise and honor to you, O matchless King. Yeah.
Worship you alone, blessed Savior.
Amen. Not like you in all the earth. Glory to God.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love ya. Really? Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again. And several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
To the stage at this time, one of the greatest soul-stirring voices of the 20th century, Mr. Joe Lagan of the Mighty Clouds of Joy.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
I've been in the storm, Somebody need a little more time. I need a little more time.
I need a little more time. A
little more time.
I need a little more time.
To pray.
God will make a way. I know that He will. I've seen it and He will. Oh, God will bring you out. I know that He will. Make a way.
God will make a way. I know that He will.
I know He will.
I've seen it and He will.
I've seen it and I know He will.
Make a way.
God will, yes, He'll make a way.
Concluded this week's service and programming. Tune in tomorrow night, Words for the King with Tim Groover. And on Wednesday, we have Ken and Ruth Wolfgang coming with their thing. Hey, I'm on there with them doing the little matching up the poem and the song together, doing that little exercise with him to see if I can connect with the song and the poem. And we just want to thank all the rest of the week that's going on with the Six Eyes Radio Network. We want to thank our new team members. We thank our old team members. And we're praying for our world. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you right now for your life, health, and strength. Thank you for being first in our life, Lord God. Thank you for being active in our life. Thank you, Lord God, for blocking the things that would have happened against us that would have cost us time, money, and opportunity. But God, you've been right there. Your word said, good man, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And so, God, we ask that we may be considered good, that you will order our steps, that we may follow by. We pray for the grieving families of all the kids that have been hurt here recently by the gun violence. The guns are not the problem. People who have misused the guns, people who misunderstand the gun, people who misunderstand who you are, people who have not loved their neighbors as themselves. And so, God, we just pray right now for the peace of those families, that you would give them peace. Lord, it's hard to find peace when somebody has been wrongfully taken away. But God, you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all your acts of peace. Thank you, Father. So continue to bless them. Continue to bless our ministry, Lord God. Blessing it like never before. And as you do it, God, we're mindful to say thank you. We're mindful to give you the name, glory, honor, and praise in the name of Jesus. And we thank you now, God. And to amen and amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So once again, until we see you the next time, God bless you. God keep you. Let's keep one another lifted up in prayer. Check on your elderly. love somebody and let them know that not only do God love them, but you love them too.